Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Can we celebrate Pastor Ron? He's an excellent service host. Hey, what a blessing. Help me hold hands with your neighbor. Just hold hands and just pray in the spirit. If you don't know what that is, just give thanks to God for your life and all he has done for you in English, and it's all going to be all right. Just lift your voice and pray. The Bible says that I desire, Paul writing to Timothy, that men pray everywhere. Amen. Just lift your voice and give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God. Bible says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, I will multiply them, and they shall not be small. I'll glorify them, and they shall not diminish. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We honor you. You've been good to us today. Thank you for the testimonies that we've had. Your goodness, your grace. Thank you for all that you're doing and for all that you've done. We bless you. Church, continue to lift your voices. Don't make it some sort of little religious exercise. Really lift your voice and pray. And pray, pray, pray. It's a prayer time. It's a time of prayer. We bless you, Father. You're so kind. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for all the miracles that are happening even right now in this service and in all the different services that are connected to us right now. Thank you. Thank you that you're restoring lost things. Thank you that you're restoring joy in homes, in marriages, in relationships. Thank you for that testimony about restoration of relationships. Thank you that our homes shall not be places of difficulty, but they shall be places of joy, places of grace, places of mighty deliverances. Thank you that you're any kind of spirit that is not of you, we are being delivered from it right now. And that your joy is becoming manifested in our midst. We bless you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Oh, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. You are in our midst. We honor you. We bless you. Yes, you're mighty. You are mighty, 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 mighty God. Thank you that you're healing every kind of disease. Your word declares that you anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil, for you were with him. Thank you that you're with us right now, and that every oppression of Satan ends right now, right now, right now, right now. No oppression shall stand. No oppression shall stand. No oppression shall stand. We receive your healing. We receive your grace. Thank you for mighty provision. Mighty provision coming our way. Thank you that no one will face frustrations of not knowing what to do, not knowing how to pay fees, not knowing how to pay rent, not knowing how to pay their workers. Thank you that you're releasing right now from heaven. You have already released it, but we receive it. We receive divine provision for everything, for businesses, for homes, for schools, yes, for hospitals, for families. Thank you for your provision. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it. Thank you for your mighty work. Your mighty work, Lord, in our midst. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, just receive the Father's provision right now. And all the people, the Bible says, don't clap your hands unto God, all ye people. Let's clap those hands to Jesus. And say, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can I hear a shout of victory in the presence of the Lord? Yes, in his presence. Yes, 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 yes. Whoa, keep going, keep going. Don't stop. Clap those hands to Jesus. And shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you were there. In the secret, in the quiet, I will wait only for you. 'Cause I want to know you, Lord.
I want to know you.
I want to know you.
I want to seek.
I want to seek your face.
I want to know you.
I want to touch you.
I want to touch you.
I want to see your face.
To hear your voice.
I want to know you.
Media team, give me the lyrics. In the secret.
In the secret, in the quiet place.
In the stillness, you're there.
In the stillness, you are there.
In the secret, I will await.
In the secret,
in the quiet, I will await. Only for you,
'cause I want to know you, Lord.
I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch. I want to touch you. I want to see your face.
I want to know you more.
I want to know.
Your word, we open our hearts to you, our lives. May your word bring encouragement where there is discouragement, bring correction where there is misalignment, bring a lifting where there has been a lowering, bring provision where there is lack, bring healing where there is sickness, bring humility where there is pride. Father, we thank you. Because your word will make us strong.
Jesus' name. Amen. Please have your seats. Welcome to Garage. God is ministering to us, and have a great expectation from the Holy Spirit every time you come in His presence. Amen. It's just the beginning. Yeah, some people, you will never be the same. This is, you know, everyone else may be having a Sunday service, but you're having an encounter with Jesus. Amen. I want us to appreciate our Business Garage guests. Thank you so much. We are honored to have you. Yes, you can stand, and we appreciate you. Those who didn't watch Business Garage, you need to go and watch it. Amazing. God bless you. This is Harvest Institute weekend, meaning that we have many people in Harvest Institute who are serving across 7 locations that were chosen, and Nalia is one of them. So if you're here and you're from Harvest Institute, could you stand up and we welcome you in a special way? That includes many pastors, network leaders, and pastors of other churches. Pastor Daniel Onang is here with us. You're welcome. So glad to have you. Of course, Pastor Ari is in Harvest Institute. So if you're not in Harvest Institute, you are all by yourself. But you can sign up next year. Please have your seats. Again, I want to remind you, the evening of hymns on Friday at 6 o'clock. If you come at 6 o'clock, you'll miss the first stanza of the first song. Actually, you may miss a whole 3 hymns if you come at 6, because you may find a long line going through security. We are prudent about security here. And so that's why sometimes you have to wait a little bit. So it helps if you come ahead of time, so you can go through and find a nice parking spot. I don't want you to be told to go to St. somewhere to park. So come early on Friday. It's a public holiday. It's Jana Niluum Day. So we do the evening of hymns to glorify God, but also thank God that people like that have gone ahead of us and they have established the church with their own blood, with their own sacrifices. Do you understand? Jana Niluum, those who don't know, was an archbishop of the Church of Uganda who was murdered for his convictions. And so, yeah. But that's why there is a public holiday in his honor. But we thought, you know, why not sing some hymns? You know, when you're young in the faith, you think that the latest hip-hop is the only music in heaven. But I can assure you, there's those who have gone before us. And while the your song which you wrote 2 weeks ago is no longer remembered, but these songs have been around for 500 years and they are still being sung. There is something about it. You are coming. I should not keep going. I shouldn't press the matter. Who is coming for Evening of Hymns by show of hands? Okay, only the front row. Who is coming for Evening of Hymns by show of hands? Okay. Who is going to bring someone? Neighbors, aunties, uncles. Okay, you can sit. Yeah. It's not by power, not by might, but by spirit. If you said you'll do it, you'll do it. God will help you. Amen. I hope you are consistently happy and joyful, because that's the state of those who are in the Lord. Amen. Regardless of what's happening. Those whose birthdays are today and backwards, up to the beginning of the week, we bless you. You will do well. May God bless you, increase you, sustain you, give you a long life. Yeah. May you reach a point where you are now the one asking Him that, God, I really need to go to heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to share with you what I consider to be probably the most important message you'll ever hear as a believer or as a non-believer. I know some of you think I'm just pumping up my message by saying it's the most, but I want you to know it's the most important message, because somehow all the people who don't understand this message, they seem to walk around with gaps in their life. Yeah, that's why it's a very important message, and I have to keep teaching it every so often to make sure that these gaps are reduced. So we are going to actually look at that. We have a new series, Rooted. So today, next Sunday, and the next Sunday. And that's to remind ourselves about God's love for us. Amen. Our Worship Harvest Kungu will be with you at 11:30 as we celebrate your anniversary. So, but right here there will be YXP at 11:30. So it's the service of the young, the rich, the godly, the anointed, the saint. Oh, yes. So, the message of the Father's love. I grew up in church, and I didn't commit the usual sins of the youth. Yeah, open rebellion and all of it. It wasn't. I was a safe person most of the time. And so, growing up in church, I went to boarding schools. So every time the preacher came, evangelists, you just had to get saved again and again, because you'd feel saved for about 3 weeks, and then as time went on, you started focusing more and more on your own failures and realize this thing is not working. So you moved backwards. And it looks like every time you went for holiday, by the time you came back for the next term, you were ready for another evangelism session. I don't know how it worked, but anyway. So that kept happening until in my senior two, when I think finally the one that stuck, you know, like how you throw many things on the wall and then one sticks. I think that sinner's prayer of senior two by a brother called David Kadume is the one that finally stuck. So then I walked with the Lord all those years. And then I went to uni, went through uni, then finished, continued serving, and then started a church. Mercy. And then when we started the church, we got to do something called the Discipleship Evangelism course, which some of you are doing. Now, I will not tell you how many people signed up versus how many people showed up on Thursday. Check your heart. You know yourselves. This evening we have movers and shakers at 4 p.m. And Ruth Ma will be preaching. So check your heart. So, for our guests, you'll find that people around here are very loud and they move around during the sermon instead of like what happens in other churches where people sit quietly. And the excuse they keep giving me is that living things move and make noise. So I allowed for it. What a blessing. So we start the church and then we do DE. Discipleship Evangelism course by John Cato brought it, course by Andrew Womack. And I was like, what? What is this? What salvation is? You know when you're like, so all that thing I've been doing since NASA, since children's church, Sunday school, what's that? It was so impactful. So impactful at a personal level and at so many levels. Just the mere discovery that God loves you, not because you're lovely, but because He is love. Because you see, most of us, we went to church, and especially in your youthful years, because I think when you're so wild and the pastor is looking for what part in the Bible can help me control these fellows. So they only show you the, you know, like Andrew Mark says, some of you think God is not God the Father, it's the Godfather. You know, it's like, you're like, God is walking around with a baseball bat, seeking whom to devour. Like, you lift your head, boom, and you know, being God, His baseball bat is extendable. You know, it can go as long as He wants it. So if you're... quiet, stop sinning. So we ended up going in church where our perspective of God is this guy with a big eye called Liso Dene, who is just nitpicking and fault finding. So we never grew up with that understanding of a loving, caring Father, but rather
the classroom teacher. Now, depending on which class you went to, type of God. Am I talking to anyone? Oh, is this my sermon? I'll preach it to myself and go home. Okay. I preach it to you, okay. So that's what we grew up with. You're afraid of him. You're like, avoid him as much as possible. But you know, when you die, you can't avoid him. So get saved so that when you die, at least you don't go to hell. And the whole motivation for salvation was hell avoidance. It wasn't relationship. So when that's what you have, you find that even now as a Christian, you're not motivated by love and by relationship. You are motivated by the avoidance of the punishment of hell in the afterlife or other punishments now during life, which they've told you that God has a whole drawer full of punishments and he will pull out one for you depending on what you have done and be ready for the ramifications. What a shock! But I'm here to tell you that we have a loving Father. And his whole posture toward you is he wants to bless you. He wants to love you. He wants to heal you. You see, if you are not being healed, it's not God. As for God, he already healed you. It says, by his stripes we were healed. But there is a devil loose who keeps trying to inflict sickness upon people. And can be confusing when the devil is doing working, and then you think it is God working. You see, if you think it is God who gives you sickness, don't go to the hospital. Because then you're using the doctors to fight God's will. And the doctors also don't want to get in trouble. You know, sometimes all you have to do is think about it, and you realize that your theology is broken. If God is not giving you sickness, why are you fighting him by going to the clinic and going to Vine Pharmacy to pick a few things? Do you understand? So it's not God. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's the good news. The one of the thief is the devil. God is the one who gives life more abundantly. But now people have swapped. They try to make it look like God is the thief who is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And you need to find a witch doctor to give you life more abundantly. What a shock! But the good thing is that all of us here, we understand the love and grace of God. And in case you don't, I want you to know God really loves you. God loves you more than your spouse. No. That's even an understatement. God loves you 1,000 times more than your spouse. However nice your spouse is. Some of you have nice ones, like Pastor Kathy here. And TJ, okay. In worship service, everyone has a wonderful spouse. That's how it works. It's part of the benefits of being in this church. Do you like it? I mean, look at mine. Assads, Assads, where are the Assads? It's jokes. this church.
I like your church.
You like this church? I like this church. Even if I wasn't a pastor, I would attend this church. Because, I mean, I'm not going to go. Doing it. That's a new one. Doing it. Please sit down. Oh, I keep forgetting to show you, but this right here is Pastor Lorraine's grandma. You're welcome. And she's from the UK, so she's part of Worship Harvest UK when she's there. Yeah, not mother, grandma. You know, have you met the coolest grandmothers anywhere? They are also in Worship Harvest. Like Pastor Rona and Pastor Anne. You know, these are grandparents. Like the coolest, I mean. Yeah, Pastor Solomon's mom.
Huh? Yes, she's, of course she's a grandma. Oh, your grandma is here. Ah. Wow, welcome, welcome. That's Pastor Salome's grandma. Wow, you guys, we are so blessed. Hey. Quickly. If you are our first time guest, you're welcome to come back next week. And then the next week, by the fourth Sunday, you'll be the one walking in front saying, I'll be there.
First level of
yeah. The first level of belonging to a church is enjoyment. You will have acclimatized. TJ had to show me the new word he has been working on. Acclimatized. What a blessing. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7. We need to get in the scriptures. Wow. 1 John chapter 4 verse 7. 1, 2, 3. Let's read loudly. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The people upstairs on the gallery, I bless you. May God multiply you in numbers and increase you until the whole gallery is full of chairs. Amen. Now, beloved, let's love. Now, the key to this verse, we are going to go maybe up verse 19 if we get there. If we don't, yeah, it's our building. No one is chasing us. Beloved, let's love. The key to that verse is the first word. Shout it.
Beloved.
The instruction to love is to those who are loved. That's what it says. Husbands, love your wives the way Christ loves the church. But how on earth will a husband ever love his wife the way Christ loves the church when he doesn't know the way Christ loves the church? So a husband who thinks that Christ puts people in accidents to teach them a lesson, do you know how they are going to love their wife? The husband who thinks that it is Christ who puts the thorn in the flesh, do you know how they are going to love their wife? The same way. So one of the miracles of DE is that it saved our marriage. Because I didn't do the obvious sins growing up, I ended up with the worst sin, which is pride. You know, when you're in church all your life, you haven't done, you're very proud. You look down on others and their mistakes. So, and now my wife was the same. Church all her life, church all my life, and then we got married. Ha! Yeah. Tiger meets lion. Nothing was going to give way because now we were not struggling with other sins that are obvious. Last what? No. Pride. I am good. I am good. You are the bad one. You are the bad one. Yeah. I thought I was a good person until I got married. Yeah. There are two things that will improve your levels of humility if you allow. The ones I've experienced. There are others, but the ones I've experienced. At least the ones that won't kill you. Marriage, church planting. Those two. Yeah. You plant a church, you know, you see, you're seated there, you think, you feel anointed. In your mind, you're even saying, why are there so few people here? What is the pastor doing? Why isn't this place full? Don't worry. We are a church planting movement and we'll soon send you to plant one. And then you'll be like, Where are the people? Where are they? Where are the chairs? Where are the speakers? Where is the building? Where is the band? Where is the worship team? So marriage can quickly show you your true colors. Everyone can pretend when you're alone. I mean, you go to your room, lock, and, you know, yeah, until you have to let another person in there and they live there. Not the things of dating. When you're dating, everyone put on your perfume, some perfume, make you... plastic eyelashes. But when you get married, that's when you understand omuntu agoingewa what it means. Adoingechi. Yeah, because when you wake up and the whole white thing has come down your cheek and no improvement whatsoever. Yeah, all the artificial stuff is off. My best man told me this story. I don't know whether it's true or not, but it's from my best man. Can I tell it to you? The people this side don't want to hear my story. Okay. So he said a certain young man who was very infatuated. You know, you can think you're in love, but it's infatuation. There's a difference between love and infatuation. Yeah, gutuja, that's infatuation. You see the person, then the heart does a somersault and lands on its back with a thud. And then there's momentary loss of presence. Then they wake you up. So he was infatuated. He went to a concert and saw this beautiful singer. He fell in love with her and he decided to marry her in a very short time. In those parts of the world, there is nothing like Kugambabu Jenny, Kuchala, Kuhinjira, Kwanjula, and other quas. So he quickly married her. The wedding was beautiful. So they go to their honeymoon suite. So when they reach there, she tells him, give me some time, let me go and prepare. So she went to the bathroom and came out. Then she first removed her eyelashes to reveal that there was nothing. So he was like, you know, like eye-popping action. Like, huh? What was that? Then of course she removed all the artificial nails. Kick. And threw them in a bowl like thing. Click. Then she removed the hair. Woof. To reveal that the hair there was like boy's hair, you know, very short. Are we still here? Then she removed the teeth. At that point, the young man started seeing the room moving around like this. He was getting what they call in English kamunguluze. Like so. Now, when she finally removed the leg, not hips, leg, the whole leg from here downwards, he fainted. Sit down. They had to call their medics.
So those of you who think your parents are not wise by insisting on all those other events, they are saving you from thinking you are marrying a two-legged person. How did we reach this point? Those in other locations, I send you greetings. Gayaza, Bugolobi, Downtown, Entebbe Central, Jinja, Wairaka, Gaba Road, Nabusugwe, Nakwero. Because some of your pastors are here. Gomba, Masaka, Chitukutwe, Gulu, Lira, and others. Anyway, Germany, UK. Now, yeah, husbands, love your wives. The way Christ, you can only love her based on the revelation you have. You see, our marriage was going to really get destroyed. But DE course, because I started to understand. You see, when you're a religious person, you are under so much pressure to perform before people, to look good, to be good, even when it's not really there in your heart. It's all a pretense, you know. There's a whole group of people in the Bible called Pharisees that Jesus had confrontations with constantly. Very religious, but he called them whitewashed tombs. Can you imagine, you see these tiles here dying under their dead bones? That's whitewashed tombs. So I was a Pharisee. I was a whitewashed tomb, looking the part in church, but the heart. And why I didn't know that God loved me. I thought God was difficult and I had to figure out how to love him. So when we did that course, our marriage was saved. As you can see, she still has her hair, her legs and her teeth. So, and they are all real. There's even the eyelashes are real. So, back to First John. Beloved, let us love. Beloved. Brothers and sisters, love is going to be an uphill task for you. Marriage is going to be an uphill task for you until the day you find out how much God loves you. You know, I say this and people maybe they think I'm always joking. I'm, you know, like 90% of the time I'm joking, but there's some 10% where things are real. Like, I am the most loved person in the world, and I'm convinced about it. Yeah, like, I don't know, what did you do to God? Why did he choose to love me instead of you? Anyway, but you can also believe it, because God is not limited to loving one person. But you must believe it. Later on in this chapter, John says, we have received and believed the love that God has for us. Give me that verse. I'm not going to go like, line by line. I'll go wherever. Huh? Okay. 1, 2. And we have known and believed that God, the love that God has for us. God is love and you abides in love, abides in God and God in it. It's not enough to know. You must believe. We have known and believed. Yeah, everyone can say, yeah, I know God is a loving God. Jesus is a loving God. But you believe that he actually loves you. It's one thing to know there's someone who loves people, but do you believe he loves you? Look, I'm not going to go into the depths of doctrinal issues on love. I want you to just believe it. So, we have known and believed. Now, you know John, the one who is writing, remember how he used to refer to himself? The disciple whom the Lord loves. No wonder he sat next to Jesus the whole time. To the degree that he would put his chest
rather his head on Jesus' chest. Ah! Man, if you found us seated here with my disciples and we are all guys, and then one guy has his head on my chest, people would start thinking bad thoughts in this generation. But such was John and Jesus. There was nothing awkward about it. I mean, if you found a guy sitting with his head on my chest, that's very awkward at all levels. But with John, and there was nothing awkward about it, because John was so convinced about Jesus' love for him that he referred to himself as the one whom the Lord loves. The disciple. He was the disciple whom the Lord loves. So when they couldn't figure out the equation of who is going to betray Jesus, they said, you ask him. Have you ever had, you know, like those with children, and they all know who to send to ask for certain things? Let me continue. Because some people, they are just going to have their children. But John was convinced. So he says, beloved, let us love one another. Please, I need you to seriously consider that you are the one he's talking to. You're the one he's talking about. You are the beloved of the Lord. Yeah. There's a song we used to sing. This love affair to be known by you has meant so much more to me than I could ever dream. All I live for, all my desire, is to lift your name on high and to live your life. Are we together? Are we understanding? John 4. So, beloved, let us love one another, for God, love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Of course, that's by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because you as a human being, your love reserves are very shallow. Next verse, he says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Just like sugar is sweet, fire is hot, water is wet, God is love. If when you taste, it's not sweet, it doesn't matter what they tell you, it's not sugar. If when you touch, it's not hot, it wasn't fire. Or there's a problem with your neurosenses. If when you bathe, you come out dry, it wasn't water. Some people went to a certain boys' boarding school. I send you greetings. You know yourselves. If it's not love, it's not God. You have encountered something else. And you need to double check. Because nowadays so many things pass in the name of God. God is love. Now, for clarity, love doesn't mean that people will always agree with you. The people who love you the most will disagree with you on very many things. In fact, it takes a certain kind of love to get you doing certain things that you don't like to do, but they are the ones that are going to help you to grow. Yeah, if someone is always letting you do what you want, they don't love you. Because some of you, that's what you think. You are in this missional community, they are trying to correct you, they're asking you where are your savings. It is you decide to go and hang out with everyone who doesn't have savings. You think they love you. You'll all be broke for a long time. Then one day you realize that wasn't love. Because if they really loved you, they would have helped you come up with your savings. Among many other things. Because I might say, you only talked about savings. Yeah, there are other things. Hey! Some things are going to take my time, and I'm trying to save it. So God is love. There are only two instances where they talk about God in that sense. That God is. God is light, and God is love. Everything else, they put an article. They say, God is our father. God is a warrior. God is a provider, a healer, whatever it is. But when it comes to love, it's God is love. In other words, love and God are... Oh, yes. I like it. You know, you guys are easier to preach to. That's why I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The love of God is manifested. You know, there are those people who love you, but you have never seen any manifestation of it. They just speak words. I love you. I love you. I love you. Hey, I love you. Look, love is not for talking, okay? Can you imagine? God could have shouted from heaven, I love you. But he manifested it by sending his only son. The Bible says that while we were still with sinners. That's Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a demonstration of God's love. So if you're out there and you've never considered Christ, you're running away from the only person who can love you without motives. Honestly, why do you think all these people here are very happy like this? Because they received the Father's love. It's not because everything is perfect in their lives. No. There are many things they are believing God for. But once you know how much you're loved, even the things that are not yet in place, are you understanding? So God's love is manifested. That's why in this church we encourage husbands to give something called a kameza. A kameza. A kameza. Jesus. A kameza. A kameza. Chop it, chop, chop. Now it's not to say that that's the only way a husband loves. No. There are other more important things. But you know, ladies, they don't like asking for money. They don't. No, ladies, you like asking for money. Do you like asking guys for money? Not at all. At all. You want him to think about it and get in the wallet and just alarm you with some cash, which is for no accountability. That one is no accountability. Just beauty allowance. Like, you're so beautiful. Yeah. Why are the people in that corner not happy? Are they experiencing a Kameza free marriage or what? All the men there don't give Kameza. How about that side? It's a crisis. The ladies are telling me it's a crisis. Men, can we solve this crisis? Get in your wallet. Get out a green note from another country. Why is Director Grace not happy? I thought this is his area of specialty. BLN might rise up and say, we were not represented in the sermon. You are happy. Okay. BLN, Director Grace, agrees with the Kameza principle. So, you get some cash and just, yeah, leave it on her side of the bed with, yeah. Huh? With a little knot. Okay, with a little knot. TJ says with a little knot. Ah! Hey! Beat! Akameza. 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 Chop it, yeah. Blata to fulu magu fulu mi ya wakano genda ngolinga ovo demo siko E wakole seyo madamu naba nanga tetalina chamanyicha genda kola Kwata mosa wote keka katwa woku kamesa asanyuke Nango chakula bango bufumbo butere Kunye mo, alrighty Brothers and sisters, Blaza Blaza, all the husbands are coming. Akameza. What the neighbor was pretending, a loss and teaching, you get a contract, you take it. Message yeli kiri yanti mudachi kena weta kukuchu samu nkola yo Wabu fulu mabakato fulu mabu fulu minga genda Take a welcome to Akame 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 is away Akame What's your purpose Kaya Downtown Sit down. Guys, you're disorganizing the service. Go and sit down. Time. In this... Where were we? Verse 10. We finished. Verse 10. In this is love. Watch this. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, the payment for us. Give me an NLT. Let me hope they don't ruin it. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his son as a sacrifice. This is real love. Not that we loved God. Our love for God is little compared to his love for us. That's why you see Peter, who told Jesus, ain't nobody gonna touch you while I'm around. He denied him 3 times. And John, who used to say the disciple whom the Lord loves, was standing at the foot of the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus, when it came down to that. If you want to go the whole way with God, focus on his love for you, not your love for him. If you lost your keys and we found you in the parking lot at midday with your phone touch on, we will call a doctor, a certain type of doctor. Because in light of the greater light, your light is not necessary there. Are you understanding? Oh, yes. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Amen. Verse 16, and we've known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Verse 17 is very pivotal. I was fighting to get there. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, So are we in this world? I'm going to come back to this verse. Let me go to verse 19, then I'll come back. Is that okay? So he talks about, verse 17, perfection of love, as it is, so are we. So verse 18, it's a journey. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out. So he's talking about that perfection of love casts out fear. Okay? Not sort of shushes it out slowly. No. Casts out fear. And it says, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. I'm going to come back and explain to you that part because it's very, very pivotal for your own walk with God. But let's go to the end, then I'll come back because the end is practical for us. We love him because he... Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. In this verse, we get to understand what the first love is. The first love is not our love for God. Okay. Quietness Presbyterian has just joined us. The first love is God's love for us. Let me show you a scripture to prove this to be true. Revelation chapter 2, 1 or 3, 1? 2, 1, 2, 1. Banange. Click up. Okay. To the angel, let's read. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? This thing says he holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Look at this verse. I know your works, not the lack of it. Let me come nearer. Not your laziness. Not your indifference. I know your works. You work hard. And it says, your labor. Yeah, labor is like hard work. I know your works. I know your labor. It says, I know your patience. Are these bad things? If you're a pastor, isn't this the kind of congregation you'd want? People who are working, laboring, people who are patient, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. Isn't this like the perfect church? Look at the next line. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. How do you know they are not? They have not extended the kingdom. And have found them liars. You even can tell the liars from the truth speakers. This is the perfect church. If you look at all the seven churches they write to in chapter 2 and 3, and they told you, Pastor, which one do you want? You would pick this one. Look at the next one. He says, next verse, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Have you seen anything wrong? Have you seen anything wrong? No, everything is lined up like this is how the church ought to be. Until the next verse, it says, nevertheless, I have this against you that you have left. Now leave that verse for there because a lot of people tend to badly read it. They say you have lost your first love. Do you see the word lost there? You stand up. Stand here. Let's assume this is the love. And like this is not even a bad picture at all. Okay? He says you have left. You are doing all this work. Evangelism. 5 a.m. prayer. Baptisms. MC meetings, season 21, care calls, shepherd calls, visitations, loving your neighbors, doing frontiers, fastings often, watchings often. The point is, while you are at it, how far from the first love are you? Because the first love isn't your love
for him. If it was your love for him, you can't leave it, because wherever you go, you have it. The first love is his love for you, and he's saying you have left it. This is what produces angry Christians who are not joyful, because they are trying to serve the Lord, but they are not conscious of just how much he loves us. Please. Look, you and I, there's nothing we'll ever give to God that will impress him. What Jesus did impressed him to the end and back. Let me close with verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might know, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, here's the thing. The perfection of love. Let me use the same example Pastor Ari Kam, because I don't have some other people. But you can also come. Because anyway, you're very smart. Pastor Kathy also wants to come. Let's first, this today, let's use this, and then next Sunday. Now, we have been talking about love, but at some point in the conversation, it switches from love to perfect love. He switches from love to perfect love. Let me just... Pastor... Oh, I'm using only pastors today for perfection. No. Let me actually... Gloria, come. Since you're also dressed like... Stand this side. Now, I'm just using an example. By the way, her wedding is coming up soon, so sit down. No, that's not a statement of faith. It's real. Now, you see, I love Pastor Glory. She's my daughter. Okay? Yeah. But the way I love her is not the way I love her. Okay. You could say, for in quotes, love or perfect love. So, because it says, as he is, so are we. In this word, in the perfect love version, the person, I'm going to try and explain it differently with Gloria as well. But let me use this one because it was closer. The person even changes their name. You see, if she's coming home, she has to ask, are you home? I want to come and visit. I'm coming by. It's not like really visit. I mean, I'm using it because also now we have another relationship as a daughter, which she doesn't have to ask, but out of courtesy, she was, maybe because she doesn't want to bounce. She doesn't ask if I'm home, to come home. That's her home. Her name is Mukisa. She used to be. I didn't need to. Now she is Mukisa. Now, perfect as he is. So, perfection of love, you go from God loves you here, to you are now such an insider. You are a co-signatory to the account. You carry the same name.
Full access.
You have full access. There are some rooms in the house she can't go to. She can go to every room. Do you understand? As he is, so are we. If you are an orphan, someone can help you
as an orphan, pay your fees, take you through school. It's different if they adopt you and bring you home and give you their name. Because now you go from being helped to having rights. That's why he says those who received him, those who, whatever, he gave the right. He didn't give the privilege to become children of God. He gave the right. Now, if I was to use her as an example, she's also about to get married. We are waiting for the brother. Let's say, just for saying sake, let's say we adopted her and she became our daughter. And she gets to have the exact same rights as Paula, Angela, and Kirk David. And Quaker, I'm told, and Quaker. You see that at present, she still has to call, are you guys there? Can I visit? ETC. She lives with her mom. But if we adopted her, she would move into our house. She doesn't need to call. If I have any money, she has access to it. If I have a loaf of bread in the house, she has access to it. That's the perfection goes from I'm helping you at out here to I'm not helping you. You now have rights of access. Because when you adopt a child, you are not allowed to treat them different from the ones that you gave birth to. That becomes a court case. They have exactly the same rights, the same access, everything. Now, you'll first come back. Let's assume this one was born in the house.
Oh, yes.
And then we adopt this one. Okay? Now, you see, for God, Jesus was born in the house. And then we were adopted. Then he says, as he is, so are we. That is why we have boldness in the day of judgment. Because we will be judged exactly the same way Jesus is judged. And you can be sure, Jesus is not standing before the Father's throne quaking about anything. You can stand and we conclude the service. Thank you, wonderful people. Yes. Give thanks. Open your mouth and give thanks to God for loving us that much. For loving us that much. Thank you, Father. We bless you. We honor you. You're kind. You're merciful. And we know that our lives are sorted, ever since we came to Christ. Because you have loved us the same way you loved him. And we have no fear. This morning we have zero fear in our hearts before you. Because we know that you love us. We honor you, we reverence you, but we don't have dread because of your love for us. Thank you, Father. And friends, our service is fast spent, but if you're here, you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to pray with you. I want you to step into this kind of love that the Father has bestowed on us. Could you just put your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. You are saying, if you've never made a public confession of Jesus, I see that hand. Can I see your hand? There are more people. Wherever you are, you're saying, please pray for me. I want to receive that level of access to the Father. I want to receive that kind of love. Wherever you are, just start coming forward. Just walk forward. Thank you. God bless you. Just wait here. God bless you. God bless you. Keep coming. Anyone else? Come. There's no fear in love. Just come. You can ask your neighbor if they want you to walk with them. Then you can walk forward with them. Just ask them, have you accepted Jesus? And then ask them, can I go with you? It's a very important thing. Yeah, we'll give it time. Even upstairs, we'll wait for you. Don't feel like you're too far to come. We'll wait for you. At this point, Let's not walk around. Anyone walking around, I will assume you're coming to give your life to Jesus. Amen. Everyone else, keep praying. Just pray with thanksgiving for what God has done. Thank you, Lord. Anyone coming? Anyone coming? Come. Come to Jesus. Come and receive the kind of love you will never get anywhere. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Can I shake your hand? God bless you. Keep coming. Let's keep celebrating as they come. Hey. Oh, yes. God bless you. Oh, yes. Keep coming. God bless you. Keep coming. Keep walking forward. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling. He's calling you. Yes, keep coming. Jesus is calling. Jesus is waiting. He's waiting for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Can we celebrate these wonderful people who have given their lives to Christ? And online and in other locations, there's a pastor at the front. Just walk to where they are. And we'll pray together. Can we pray together? Just pray after me. Let's join them in prayer. Thank you. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Today.
I give my life to you.
I give my life to you. Forgive me my past.
Forgive me my past.
And give me a future with you.
And give me a future with you.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy
that
Spirit.
That I will serve you.
That I will serve
all
you.
The days of my life.
All the days of my life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can you go with Brother Trevor here? You're just going to go here. Just follow him just to the side here. Can we celebrate them? Amen. God is good. God is wonderful. Let's close this service. Thank you, Father, for your kindness. Thank you for your love. Thank you because we lack nothing in you. And all that might be not yet manifested, we speak that it will be manifested. That all we need will be manifested, and that we'll be able to serve you without worrying about life. We honor you and praise you. I pray for those who may have any kind of sickness in their bodies. I pray for immediate relief. Immediate relief. Let there be healing right now by the Holy Spirit. Yes. May there be a reversal of that medical report in the name of Jesus. May it be reversed. A reversal of that economic, financial situation to the glory of Jesus. We bless you and thank you, Lord, because you've loved us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555.